Have you guys done? Yes, turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 8. I want to greet you again tonight in the precious and lovely name of the Lord Jesus. Trust you've been really enjoying the services, getting great encouragement to your heart. Certainly looking forward tonight again for the Holy Spirit to just lead us in His Word, make it real unto us. I want to read out to Revelation chapter 8, and we're going to begin verse 6. Revelation 8:1, we know it's the seventh seal, and verse 2 to 5 is certainly seen here for the revealing of these seven trumpets, which is what we've been speaking on, and tonight we just want to take the same title, part 3. The seven angels who had seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. The second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burned with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of ships were destroyed. Notice it's always the third part under these trumpets, the third part. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as though it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. You know that we were speaking the other night that word in Russian language means Chernobyl. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Now there's fresh water here. And under the second summit is this huge salt water, but the rivers and the lakes, fountains, fresh water. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not. Not this sun shone not, the day, not this solar planet, the light. The day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth. Because these first four trumpets is dealing with the creation. The earth and the trees and the grass and the sea and the rivers and the lakes and these things. The environment, the ecosystem. But here it says, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth now. Not the earth, the inhabitants now. Those inhabit this environment. By reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. I want to turn to Revelation 11. Because we know the fifth trumpet was verse 1 to 12. Chapter 9, verse 1 to 12, and the sixth trumpet was verse 13 to 21, Revelation 9, and injected between there is Revelation 10 and Revelation 11. We want to just pick up this in there. Verse 14, Revelation 11, 14. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And seven angels sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. And you know, Jesus is made both Lord and Christ. And He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on the throne fell upon their faces and worshipped God. Same elders that the Lamb stood in the midst of when He took the book to redeem this earth. Saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power, and hast reigned, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, the day should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them who destroy the earth. The same inhabitants of the earth. Whoa, whoa, whoa. The inhabitants of the earth. The same ones that are destroying the earth. A third part of the sea, and third part of the sun, and third part of the moon, and third part of the trees. Now God is going to destroy them who destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings, and voices, and thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. One more scripture, Revelation 7, verse 1 to 4. You know, last night we were speaking how the 15 and the 16 was contained in Revelation 7, verse 1 to 4. Because it's speaking about a period of time from 1980 when the World War I stopped until the last half of the 70th week. And that's about. So it's the time there. That's going to be 1988. Then how much longer, we don't know. But up till now, it's about 70 years already. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. That's like it was here. We're reading over here. And I saw another angel standing from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. And I heard a number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Let's bow our heads. Go with a prayer. Our precious Lord Jesus, you who have been so gracious unto us these past few services, with your great divine presence in our midst, and your Holy Spirit breaking the bread of life and revealing these things unto us. The Lord, what is lacking in our faith might be perfected in this hour. We could stand here, Lord, totally furnished into all the works, and thinking, Lord, how in a little type you showed in the Bible, like Boaz, the Lord of the harvest, commissioned the reapers to drop an extra handful of barley and purpose. When we will come into the field, tonight we are praying that the Holy Spirit, Lord, will throw that handful of that golden grain. Lord, these divine revealed mystic truths, that we can take and feed upon these things, Lord. And Lord, that our hearts could be literally turned back to the feet of the fathers. God, may you grant tonight. Bless the preaching of your word and the hearing of your word. May you get honor and glory in your spirit. Let no man be seen but Jesus Christ. And may the word become so simple and personalized, each and every one of us. We pray, we ask these things for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. May have a seat. The revelation of the seven trumpets, part 3. We want to go right in tonight and see what the Holy Spirit going to open up to us. You know, I was kind of concerned today, thinking you know, we have two more services, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and tonight was going to be a key service to me, because I was thinking, you know, where I wanted to reach by Sunday night, it seems too much to cover still, and I said, Lord, you just have to help me tonight just to come to such a place by the time that I could breathe a little freely, that Sunday we could just climax what we have been trying to bring to you over these past two services. And on Sunday last, when we had those two services, and the baptism with the Holy Ghost and fire, and the new heaven, and the new city in the new heaven and the new earth, I was thinking that tonight we could just maybe come to a place where we could tie right into the earth, and by the grace of God, we could just see exactly more clearly what the Holy Spirit has been trying to focus our attention upon in these services. And where it is relevant for us, you know, because these seven trumpets, it seems mysterious, and Brother Ram makes certain statements. He says it don't pertain to the church, it pertains to Israel alone, and that caused many people just to leave it alone, and back off from it, and not look into it. And then we find 1965, he was looking to bring that great message. He says, I want to get those seven thunders, those seven trumpets, those seven vials, and tie them together. He says, it's a great and outstanding message laying inside of the earth. And in looking at these things, we realize from the past few services, there have been something taking place. And because he also made a statement, he said it wasn't profitable for the church at that time. If Satan get a hold of this secret, it's got no great damage, really, he says. But yeah, we see the Holy Spirit taking the scriptures, making these things so plain, so real unto us, and identifying our very experience, how we have come, and what God have worked to achieve in our lives. That just confirms and identifies to us that we have been called according to God's purpose. Those who foreknew, is them he did predestinate. Those who predestinate, is them he did call. Now that we are called according to his purpose, predestinated to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is a good time for the believer as we come to this great realization of I in you and you in me. He said that's what he's going to come to. In that day you will know it. Why you will know it? When them 7 seals open, he will take those divine revealed mystic truths and wipe away your amnesia. You will hear from your theophany. Amen. You will know the talk he was thinking about you. Amen. You are the expression of the talk of Jehovah. Amen. The way God saw you before the foundation of the world. What he predestinated you unto. What he came down to that 7th seal and saw you as a vision. Amen. And he's bringing you back to that you can walk step by step by step right into that perfect realization. And in this very hour, amen, as the millennium is being ushered in unto us and the vision breaks, we are caught up into this great thing. Paul says, when that is perfect is come, that is in part shall be done away. We will see through a glass darkly. We will see face to face. We shall know as we were known. How did he know? Amen. When he met Adam, amen, his name had changed from Jehovah, Elohim to Jehovah. When he was called Elohim, it was just the genes in his loins. It is soft, it's thinking. But when he began to express them, when he began to bring forth a mind of God under God, when he began to bring forth the armature of God, he was called Jehovah, the Lord God. Amen. Hallelujah. And here we see this day. So when that great cloud was shown in the skies, and the prophet, under inspiration, and the message shalom, and he saw the world come to the churches, gathering together. Amen. And he said, the message pulling the bride out, and speaking about his great light, the pressing, coming of the great light. Amen. Because we are going back to the 7th morning. It is, we are going back to that 7th morning. No man ever lived a day with God yet. A 1,000 years is one day. He was called up his word. Amen. He said, we are right back on our road to that 7th morning. To that first civilization. Amen. And here it was. That 7th day was breaking. It is the breaking of a new day. Amen. But before the Son himself, King of kings and Lord of lords, the blessed and only potentate. Amen. Hallelujah. Comes to take over the kingdom of this world. Here comes the morning star. Heralding the coming of the sun. The minister of the morning star in the go-between. In the great blackout. When hell is on the earth. When great darkness is upon the people. When Laodicea becomes the insane age. Hallelujah. But the bride being called and taken up into the mystery of the 7th seal. Begin to recognize her position. Begin to come to that realization. To know as she was known. In that day you will know I knew. Oh my, what a realization it has been. Amen. That this perfect has come. That the perfect interpretation of the word. Hallelujah. Glory. The Lion himself and the Lord. Who can but fear? The Lord God has spoken. And all that was written in the book was made plain in the song of that 7th angel. Amen. Showing us this great plan of redemption, how he is going to bring us back to Eden. Amen. And here the prophet says, I feel, amen, he says, destroy the blood and mortal flesh, the Holy Spirit comes behind, amen, say shalom. He says, the great Jehovah shalom there, in the last junction before the millennium. Amen. Hallelujah. The great JVH in the sky, what it was, and giving us testimony of spirits being created by the spoken word. Showing he had come back to that place. Amen. The dominion was here. The title deed had come back. Amen. He had eternal life. That revelation of glory. Amen. He could identify himself. I was Moses. Amen. When they crossed the Red Sea. I was Joshua. When they come to the walls of Jericho. Amen. I was there. He began to identify himself. Because he knows that mystery. He that is in you. He said, you could only understand that scripture. He that is in you. Hallelujah. What a realization it was to him. Amen. And he was looking for that great thing, that great time, and he identified in the scriptures to us, we're in the blackout. Darkest time is just before dawn. Amen. Hallelujah. But if the morning star, the minutes of the morning star, heralding the coming of the sun. Amen. You know, here we are in these services, just how much late it is from when he was seeing these things, from when he was identifying the conjunction, the go-between, when the morning star, amen, was coming forth. And he said those directors was given some motions of past age. They had the people in the wrong spirit. Amen. But here he comes to bring us in the spirit of the composer, to put the symphony into the right swing, he says, that we can recognize the changing of the beat, that we can recognize the age that was coming in. Amen. That is why when every time those things happened, he went back to the Bible, that the church will not be left without understanding. That we will not just think it's a phenomenon. We will not just think maybe the little testimony the prophet has given. Maybe God has maybe worked with him in a little special way or something. No. He went to the scriptures to post us, that we can see our day, recognize our message, know what to be under expectation for. When he found what age he was living in, he knew what to teach. Amen. He could rightly divide the age. He could tell us, we are not in that age. Amen. This is the part of the world you have to anoint. Like that woman, she came in and she began to anoint Jesus. Hallelujah. He sit there in the midst of in the hall of critics, in the midst of all them great theologians. Amen. That woman came in there with an alabaster box, and she knew what part of the world to anoint. Amen. She began to anoint the head. Hallelujah. Bring a point out there. My, when the church comes to a realization, what part of the world to anoint? And while it was there, the great silence. Amen. And she was there, but doing him a service by faith, by a revelation. She recognized a need. Amen. She was inspired to do it. Hallelujah. And there was, she had a great time of criticism and humiliation to do that service. But the world is going to speak in due season. Hallelujah! The world is going to break the silence and speak. Amen! And thy sins, which are many, have been forgiven thee. Hallelujah! What a time it has been. Amen! And God, through that prophet, identifying to us where we are positionally in the economy of God. Amen! Bringing us into the spirit of the composer, the mind of Christ. Coming into the heart of the bride. The great secret that was in the back part of God's mind is being put into the heart of the bride. Through the opening of seven seals, bringing that we can be thinking God's thoughts to come into the intelligence. Amen. Hallelujah. That the same harmony between the Father and the Son could exist between the groom and the bride. Hallelujah. To see a real super church in this hour. Amen. And we've been looking at that and see how Ruth. Amen. We're becoming one with Boaz in the harvest time while nourishment is being ministered unto her. Them reapers are dropping them golden grain, them seeds there. Amen. Which is it? Which is Christ. Amen. He was the corner wheat. Amen. And she was going to make it into a loaf of bread. Hallelujah. To feed upon it as she was feeding upon the unfailing body word. How she was coming to oneness with him in that harvest time. And the Lord Gentile. Coming in there, but in the great economy of God, yes, she was coming in the right season. Amen. Boaz began to reveal himself to her. Amen. He began to let her know the thoughts he was thinking about her. Amen. Give her confidence. Amen. Put a commanded blessing there for her. Amen. Nobody interfere with her. Amen. Glory. My heart, how he loves us. How he goes to a great extent to give unto us the assurance in the midst of all this uncertainty, in the midst of all this perilous times, in the midst of all this darkness and this evil, amen. We can sit assured knowing he will not rest until he completely redeem you. Amen. At the last trump, you shall be in a new body. At the last trump, this mortal shall put on immortality because he will not rest. He will send every revelation. Amen. He will give you every baptism you need. Glory. He will give you every experience and take your fears and doubts until he perfect your faith. He will not rest until he brings you the full redemption. He is determined. Amen. The determinate counsel of Almighty God. He is fully determined to do it. Not in your own mystics and nefarious, but to keep you out. Amen. He's going to show you in his election in your life. Hallelujah. He is determined to do it. My. Now, notice here in the scriptures, let's fast-track the message early because we want to get what we have in our hands. Notice those four trumpets. Notice, it deals with the earth. It deals and the heaven, the earth and the heaven. The environment that man is in. Where did it come from? We go back to Genesis, in the beginning God. God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. Where did the tree life come from? God spoke into existence. God put a law, every seed being born of this kind. God made the grass. Amen. Because he knew he was going to have animals who will feed upon the grass. He made different types of grass because he knew he was going to create different types of animals. Amen. He was laying it all out. Because it was a great mist in the back part of his mind. He was brooding upon the earth. He was bringing up botany life. He was bringing up marine life. He was bringing up animal life. Amen. Hallelujah. He was doing it for his own good pleasure. And he was so satisfied that what he had in his mind, what he had in his thinking, when he saw the manifestation, he said, it is good. Amen. It is very good. Because why? The expression of it was just exactly what he had in his heart. But here we find that the very earth, the tree being smitten. God made the hill being smitten. Here's the sea that God made. Oh, my hills that can walk on the waters. And God is the master of the sea. Hallelujah! He can walk on the water. Never a man can walk on water. But the one made in Genesis who created the sea come and walk on the very water and says the master of the sea. The one who put the fish inside of the air to come and tell his disciples to end up on the right side. After experienced and trained fishermen. Amen. Who father is a fisherman? Who grandfather is a fisherman? Who uncle is a fisherman? Amen. They live in a fishing village. Amen. They live by fishing. Fish all night. In a walk in the grab a pond and caught nothing. But the one who created the fish, who created the sea, amen, says, put your back on the right side. He knows the side, amen. They need a direction in service. And yet Peter, amen, a fisherman, when he looked at him, he got a revelation. This is a captain that's talking to me. Amen. He heard David speaking, amen. Hallelujah. He looked beyond the veil and he saw something, the voice from the excellent glory, speaking, put your back on the right side. He said, never be left at that word. He denies all experience, everything, all what he knows, all his knowledge, everything. Hallelujah. And he came into submission to deity. Amen. And while he came to earth, he saw in that net, it was filled with fishes. You had to get the brothers calling, help them get a pull in the fish. Now we see the fish here being smitten. The creatures in the sea. Oh my. Here in the fishing area. Amen. You know about good fish. You know about good salmon. Amen. I come up here and eat many a good salmon already. My good night, good prawns and these things. Why come from the air? God created it. In the beginning, let there be. Amen. Then, here you see, also the rivers and lakes, fountains. My being smitten. Very river in Genesis, the Adam can walk. Where the animals can go, everybody's big from. Amen. Well, I don't walk through that river coming to Eden. River, water, clear, crystal, spoken by God, bringing the gases together. So much hydrogen, so much oxygen, making that liquid form. Hallelujah! So it is great intelligence flowing out of the air. Here we see, it's written, man, genius, dino, something has come from God's creation. Amen. A third part. But notice under the last 7 vials, it don't say a third part. Because under the last 7 vials, that last woe that cleans off the earth is totally destroyed. It's a clean of everything and bring back a restored Eden. Amen. But under the first woe that's smitten, under the second woe that's smitten, a third. Amen. Under the being smitten all the time. Now what's something? And here we see the last few woes. It deals with the inhabitants of the earth. Water inhabitants. Amen. And I want you to notice something. How the prophet, the Holy Spirit, when he's coming to bring this message of these last 7 trumpets, God, of Revelation chapters 8 to 11. Because you notice, the first one was Revelation 8 to 7. The seventh one was Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 to 19. So it comes from Revelation 8 to 11. And the prophet is going to bring that message to follow the church ages on the seals. But God stopped him and said, don't go in the air. It's not time for it to happen yet. Not time to reveal it yet. You're already preaching supernaturally under the sixth seal. Every trumpet sounded right here in Revelation 7. Right here, sounded in Revelation 7 under the sixth seal. Amen. You already preaching supernaturally. And I always thought, what is preaching something supernaturally? He never said he preached seven churches supernaturally. He never said he preached seven seals supernaturally. But he preached seven trumpets supernaturally. You know what happened? He took the church edge. He took edge by edge by edge and messenger by messenger. And he took his seal, seal by seal by seal. Clear in his house from the scriptures. Because see, the seven seals in Revelation 6 is also written in Revelation 10. Amen. These seven vials, we notice here in Revelation, is written in Revelation 16. Armageddon, the third woe, Revelation 19, but also written in Revelation 11 verse 14. Behold, the third woe coming quickly. They'll have the same thing. Look at Matthew 24. We found last night that was the seals over there in the book of Matthew. Yet the seals is over in Revelation also. Don't repeat things like that. Amen. And right here in the scripture, we see that Revelation 7, when he God saw him, he just right there preached it. And he looked and saw it was a war. Political disturbance, national force. They were going to drive Israel back in the homeland. Amen. And how that angel stopped that war. The 11th hour, the 11th and 11th month. Because then the 11th hour Jews had to come in now to receive the same penny. Just like the 11th hour Gentiles is getting your now. Amen. Jesus told the parable in Matthew 20 about them 11th hour workers. From the right here, the very same day, time, the baptism in the name of Jesus was revealed back into the church. And it brings that open door between the 6th and 7th age coming in right here. Amen. Mine. And right here in Revelation 7, we see the earth and the sea and the tree and these angels was holding the wind, wars and strife. Amen. Holding back the dictators. Hallelujah. They wouldn't blow up the place. They wouldn't destroy it. The prophecy of God didn't stop that war right here. The battle of Armageddon took place right here. The whole earth would have been destroyed right here. But it stopped the war because he had some names in the book still. Hallelujah. They had to come to another redemption. He had a promise. He had already talked to a little boy who was born a prophet in 1916 in the midst of World War I. Hallelujah. And said, I have a work for you to do when you get older. So he couldn't let that war destroy the earth. He had to stop the war. Glory. Amen. And here we see in the scriptures, Revelation 7, such a great scripture. Because there's four angels holding the wind. And the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet is connected to the last three walls. And Revelation 7:1 is World War I. So that's the fifth trumpet right here. You see, because in the book of Revelation, here over in chapter 8, where we read our text, it gives it trumpet by trumpet. It takes each part of the environment separately. The sea, the tree, but over in Revelation 7, it holding the four angels, is right here, not one at a time. There are seven trumpets, they're sung at once. Because while that war was going on, it was being fought in the land, being fought in the air, being fought in the sea. Amen. Hallelujah. Ships have been destroyed in the sea. Amen. Lose all the torpedoes and the bombs and these things, all the poison gas. Look at those things. And science has progressed so rapidly over the last 75 years. Because you think when David fought Goliath, he won that battle with a stone and a slingshot. Look, they're going to fight war now, but look what Israel is using. I think Israel is going to use a slingshot? Amen. In nuclear weapons now. It's a different age. Amen. Why? Because of the invention of science. It's not going to pick up some rocks in the sea now. It's in the laboratories. They build germ warfare and bombs and tanks and supersonic planes, all kinds of different things. Because science has progressed. And over the last 75 years, our man has come on the horse and buggy all the way to the astronaut age. Amen. Man, you think that we just flew from Port of Spain to Vancouver and come here for the services, and you think back before they invented the plane? How long would it take? With a different age. Amen. You see, and science has advanced. We have some people here, they might know about the horse and buggy. They might know when just maybe one or two persons had a motor car. When it's a really exclusive thing. Sitting right in the church that I'm sure that there's people who live in that time. Amen. But you've seen how science has progressed. You've seen how the age has changed. You've seen how so much death is taking place on the earth. You have to look here and see the war, the first war, and see the second war. Amen. See two wars within 75 years. from 1918 to 1970 years. And here, look at how many wars have been fought. See, the world has gone to war twice already, and is heading for a third war right now. Because of them Trinity, spirit of Trinity doctrine coming out of the mouth of the false prophet is doing what? Deceiving the kings of the earth. You go back to 1 Kings 22. In the days when Elijah prophecy was sitting to come to pass, and Micaiah stood up there beginning to speak. Here was Zedekiah, amen, the false prophet. And here was Ahab and Jehoshaphat, the kings of the earth. And here was the demon spirit coming out of hell, the buckler spirit. Religion, politics, and demon power all being united together. And that spirit was loose in the ecclesiastical realm. It went into the mouth of the false prophet. It's Zedekiah beginning to be a false prophecy. And it begins to deceive the kings of the earth. Amen. And I'm going to take them to the battle to be destroyed. To fulfill what Elijah said. And that very hour, when it was already in process, here's my kind of still on the earth. Seen hell being veiled. See them spirit of the bottomless pit coming right and being veiled in flesh and bring out a different word to what Elijah already gave. Amen. So we see then, it's already moving because the Bible says they are gathering them together for the battle of the great God Almighty, the battle of that great day. So if we are here looking for Elijah's prophecy to be fulfilled, because remember that false seal is religion, politics, and demon power being united. Zedekiah, Ahab, and Jehoshaphat, and that lying spirit, religion, politics, and demon power, all being united right here at that time, bringing hell on the earth. Amen. And certain steps are coming together and bring a persecution on Micaiah. Shut him up in prison for his message. Because he wouldn't take a stand on his faith. He wouldn't take a stand on his faith. Because they rejected Elijah. Amen. And he was now suffering persecution. The spirit of silence his voice. He said, but if you go up and come back, then God didn't talk to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at them things in the earth right now. We're going to have a big summit meeting. But you know something? It's all working together now because they have to give the power to Rome. Kings of the earth are going to give the power to the beast. That's Paul explaining. I've been working to fulfill the scriptures. Amen. But what? Science of progress. Over these past 75 years, and the world has gone to war twice already. And World War I, that's from 1914 to 1918, it said was far greater than all the major wars fought before it for 2,000 years. I don't get a war in the age of the Crusaders and different things. But World War I was far greater than all the major wars fought before it for the past 2,000 years. And just 21 years after World War I ended, World War II broke out. And it was four times as destructive as World War I. Amen. In that first war, when the angels stopped the war, amen, not only was the earth and the tree and the grass burnt up, but 60 million of the inhabitants of the earth had already died. That's what they have documented. 16 million died in World War I and 20 million wounded. And World War II, the second war, was 55 million. They have on record as died in that war. 6 million of them alone being Jews. Amen. You think of it. And since World War II ended in 1945, more than 30 million inhabitants of the earth have been killed in over 150 wars fought around the globe. Every day, look at the newspaper, it was. The earth is full of violence. We're not talking about people who die in accidents. They're inventing the peace kill more than they're inventing the war. 100,000 every year, they die in Mexico City alone through respiratory diseases because of the air pollution. Amen. That's not a war. That's chemical war. That is industry begin war on the population. Amen. See? Whoa, whoa. In the earth. Amen. And look at that. Those wars being fought. They have the submarines all under the sea. They have the big battleship on top of the sea. They have the planes way up in the air. Amen. And they're dropping the troops in all different parts of the earth.
tragedy in the Middle East right now. How much war is taking place? And that's not a world war, that's an Armageddon. There's a little small war around. Amen. Then you think how much is just died by accident. There was an India recently there in Bhopal with that chemical plant. And look at Chernobyl and all those things here. Look at all them third world countries. Amen. Dying of air pollution, all kinds of diseases. See? And you just think of just in the wars, 16 million and 55 million. That was 71 million people. And then over 30 million since World War II in wars. You know, over 101 million people on record, which is a rough figure, which is a broad statement. In the past 70 years, we're talking about. Amen. We talk about motor car accidents, plane crashes. Amen. We talk about guerrilla warfare, cocaine wars. We don't talk about all these things. Motor car accidents, every year, in Trinidad alone, motor car accidents over 200. And that is going to be murder in the papers. That is what I call accidents. On the road, traveling, transportation. Amen. And not only that, but after World War I, one of the greatest famines ever recorded, it was documented in northern China, 15,000 was dying daily from famine after World War I. All the earth was being burnt up with that poison gas and chlorine gas, and the earth was in good pain. Labor had started. Way back the earth. Amen. Give him a chance to destroy the earth right there. And after World War II, the food shortage was even greater. It reported that a quarter of the world was now starving after World War II. See? And then after the war, it's not just that people die in the war, then all the disease that begin to break out. And all these things in the atmosphere. Amen. All these chemicals, all these radiation, all these different things. And more people died of Spanish flu than had died of any disease in the history of mankind. The death toll was over 21 million people died of a disease after World War II right here. That followed the war. I'm really talking about the starvation of 15,000 in northern China alone, daily. After 16 million had died. So what? And the war stopped. First war had stopped all them winds right here. So it won't destroy the earth. So notice something. So under these seven trumpets, what we're looking at, the first four was dealing with the creation, the environment. But the last three is dealing with the inhabitants who live in that environment. Who are the ones fighting the wars in that environment? Who are the ones tearing up the earth for war and industry and commerce and these things? To build a tank. I passed it through some recent time. In March. And they are what they call a graveyard of old aeroplanes. As far as the eye can see, only aeroplanes. With a graveyard. All that was put out to the earth. All the minerals was put out to the earth. All the motor cars that they have was put out to the earth. All the buildings that they built, is that the dust and earth in another form? Everything the eye sees. Put out to the earth. It wasn't there when Adam was not in civilization. It comes in the science civilization. Amen. But watch, what we are promised is not another science civilization. What we are promised is that God will wipe off this science civilization and bring back a faith civilization. That's why he brings us to a perfect faith to live in that perfect world. Amen. But I want you to see, under that seventh trumpet, when the kingdom of this world becomes the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ, the restored Eden, the earth that has been smitten, the trees that have been smitten, the water that has been smitten, the sea that has been smitten, the creatures in the sea that have been smitten, is all purified back to the millennium. Amen. Under the seventh trumpet.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's been purified back.
Hallelujah.
So it's two things happening. And we want to establish that tonight. Two things. We have found out, we've been watching one for the past couple of nights. The Jews going back. Peter the Trump is gathering the Jews back. Like Naomi was going back. But we begin to see something else. Not only was Naomi going back, but Elimelech's inheritance had to be released again. Because Peltus quartered while he went away. Amen. Boaz was going to redeem it back. Then he's going to come and live upon it. Amen. And here we see under the trumpet, not just the Jews, war-water inhabitants of the earth, but we see the earth being purified again. We see a day of sweet release. Amen. The earth is groaning now and travailing in pain, waiting for the revelation of the sons of God, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We see the very title deed of the earth that Adam had in Eden. When God says, son, this is yours. From coast to coast, from shore to shore. You are God over it all. Amen. You want to tell the animals, go here? They have to go. You want to talk to the wind? You want to talk to the waters? They have to obey you. Amen. You are God over the earth. And God gave him dominion. And just like God great our mystery. You know how it was in the book of Joshua. When Joshua brought them out to Egypt. Because Egypt was showing those who are born in bondage outside inheritance. They were supposed to be born in Canaan. But they've been born in Egypt. And they've been, from the time they're born, they're just free. From the time they're born, they're in bondage. They grew up in bondage, making bricks. 400 years in bondage. But God had promised he's going to send a prophet. He's going to bring an exodus. He's going to reveal a token. He's going to do all these things. Amen. To bring them out of the bondage. And deliverance is coming. Amen. And they stayed in bondage. But then the time came when God began to bring them out. And he had a place predestinated. Amen. That a journey that was going to come through. It was where the priest takes the redemption. Water baptism to the Red Sea. Coming to the wilderness. Being sanctified. Crossing over the Jordan. And coming back into the season. Coming back into the promised land. Where they were supposed to be born. And when they come here, they're going to get an inheritance. Every man is going to have a portion. Every man is going to have a landmark. Every man is going to have a deed. Amen. And there's a law that governs it. If a man inheritance is forfeited for some purpose, God had a provision. God had a provided way to bring it back to the man. Amen. Grace had a time appointed, a jubilee, in the 50th year, that regardless what condition the man was in, regardless what state his inheritance was in, it was going to be delivered for the man. The man was going to be delivered to come back and take his rightful place on his inheritance. He had to check. And that man in bondage, no doubt, sitting there, living in a walled city, being beat along day after day after day, but he was checking the time because he knew God's word. Amen. And he checked the first, he had to check 7 Sabbaths of years. And he checked the first Sabbath of years, 7 years. Then the second one, Simona, 7 years. Then the third one, Pergamum, 7 years. Then the fourth one, amen, Tartarus, 7 years. And he's counting them. And when he came out again a little this year, was 49 years. Then he had a 50th day. 50th year. Amen. A proclamation of emancipation. Glory. Amen. A message of grace. Because the man in bondage couldn't come out. Had nobody to deliver him. But God had appointed time. Amen. When that priest will take that trumpet, the trumpet of Jubilee, in the day of atonement. Amen. When the atonement, the genuine atonement, is being revealed. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. In that very day, the 10th day of the 7th month, when the atonement was being revealed, a message, a proclamation of emancipation was going to go forth. A message of grace and redemption. Amen. To bring the man out of bondage and bring him right back to his family and back to his possessions. And God was giving that in a type, showing that Adam, who lost his inheritance in the Garden of Eden, it was going to come back one day. It couldn't stay for spotless forever. Amen! God was showing in types of redemption that there was going to be a real day of redemption. Hallelujah! When he himself will come down, the legal owner himself. Amen! He will mount that white horse and ride through the land. Amen! Blowing that trumpet of Jubilee! Amen. And that slave, counting the time, when he recognized what day he was living in, he was listening to a message. Amen. Hallelujah. And that message was going to proclaim liberty throughout all the land. Not bondage, liberty. Restoration, redemption, grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Bring it back. And from the time you get under the song of that message, in that 50th year, after the 7th Sabbath of ages, here he was, under the inspiration of his message, going away, journeying right back to a place that when he stands in that little portion of ground that was his, he represents, he was a type of Adam in his own inheritance. Amen! He had dominion from a landmark to landmark. Amen. How long? If a man goes to interfere a landmark, you can see, amen, you have to die. No man can take your promise. No man can move your promise. No man can shock your boundaries. Amen. God said John 14:12 is yours. He said Mark 11:26 is yours. Mark 16 is yours. Hebrews 4:12 is yours. Hallelujah. That your boundaries to the Lebanon and the Euphrates and the great river shall be a coast. The Holy Spirit, Joshua, was going to divide it up and place them in the inheritance. Amen. Just like you in your own home, you put your bungs in the fence. And your neighbor, when you go to convert, I'll be the territory. You take a deal in this, you call a survey and measure it out. Amen. You have the whole of the state behind you. It is marked off by the state, what is yours? If he tries to move it upon your territory. Amen. From that fence to fence, from post to post, you are God in it. Amen. Hallelujah. My. You just like Adam, you see? That heritage, those characteristics come right down to the Bible. Amen. Right down to this very hour. Because it was speaking of a day. It was speaking of a certain time. And here we see in the scriptures, that whole earth being destroyed. Amen. How them wars were being fought. It was sung in all at once. The trees, the sea, them angels holding them winds right there, blowing the sea and the earth and the environment and destroy everything right there. This great age when the industrial revolution, amen, started around the turn of the century. Amen. Advancement in technology after World War II especially, it escalated with rapidity. Amen. But around God showing the great scientific age coming on to bring back a day of scoffers and mockers. When God said a prophet before the end of all flesh has come. Amen. Right in the Bible, God laying out all these things. And notice in Genesis when God first made that environment with a great ecological system. He knew when the man coming to the earth, he would need water. Amen. He knew just how far to put the sun. He wanted about 90 million miles. He put all them different layers up there. He knew the sun of ultraviolet rays and different things. He put a whole ozone layer there. Man didn't even know how an ozone layer there serving a purpose. Amen. They're selling us this spray can this year, paint up this year, make it pretty, and was making a big hole in the ozone layer. Amen. Hallelujah. All of ultraviolet rays are going to come through. Amen. I read in the Time magazine today, they discovered one now on the Arctic pole. There's all of us, anybody looking there trying to fly up on a plane now and trying to check out and make it like big news over in an expedition. We're going to find the cause of this hole in the ozone layer while the earth climate is changing now, while all this thing is happening, and they make the big reports and everything, and while all them focusing up here, have the next one on the Arctic pole. Amen. Over the North Pole. Amen. You have no hope here. The only hope we have tonight, amen, will be to lead to the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. The end of all flesh has come. See? Armageddon is the clear of the earth. And they're already being gathered and be taken to Armageddon. But right in here, he says, behold, I come like a thief. Amen. Right in here, while there's gathering, he injects, I come like a thief. And what does the thief come for? To steal and to kill and to destroy. Amen. Come to steal his bride and Romeo stole Juliet. Glory. Amen. If the good man of law, what time is it, sir? That the thief was going to come. His house will not be broken into. He comes to kill. He's able to kill Jezebel, so death, the last plague. Amen. Because they reject the blood. Hallelujah. And he will destroy them. He'll destroy the earth. Hallelujah. Here he comes. Amen. On the scene. And a great thing is happening. Man, and the one has been taken. You're stealing them. Move right in behind them. Big denominational walls. Where they had them in Baptist concentration camps. Like Auschwitz and Treblinka and all the different places. Amen. All them, because the same spirit is on the dictators was losing the ecclesiastical realm. Amen. And the same way Israel was from all nations, the bride from all denominations was the resurrection of the dark denominationalism. Bring them back to the promised word. Amen. My. So here, in Genesis 1, God has laid it out. He stopped that sun and said, the sun was coming like that, and he stopped it. Okay, right there. Then they come in and measure 92 million miles. Make yourself a bigger territory, 92 million miles. Amen. 92 million miles. Oh, we say, could never burn us up. He said, there's a day coming to burn like an orphan. He said, the days that Noah they pushed the earth with us, when they had the atomic explosion, they pushed away from the sun. Amen. And the rain came and flooded the earth. wipe off the science civilization. In this day, they're going to push it back into the sun. Amen. Wipe off the science civilization again. Hallelujah. But God always has provided way for his own elect. He comes down, amen. Glory. Because he was thinking about them way back there when he struck that wall. Even that prophet had to blow his own brains up with a shotgun. Amen. And electrocute himself. God stopped him because he had a purpose. He had to call you out. Amen. He had to vindicate his scriptures. Not one word shall be broken. Heaven and earth will pass away. God's eternal purpose is stronger than your own free will. Amen. God is proving it. Hallelujah. My. And here we see it coming in, coming in. God then says, okay, the grass is here, the trees is here. Time for the fish in the sea. And he begins to bring whales and dolphins and rainbow trout and sardines and herrings and sharks. Amen. But as God is just brooding and bringing up fishes in variety. All kinds. Seals and walruses, all kinds of fish in the sea. Amen. Angel is brooding. Says your own good pleasure and happy. Maybe get stimulated and begin to call for different kinds. Amen. Then when he finishes that, now he went to the animals. And he started here, being to breed up animal life now. Amen. Being to breed up all them dogs and all kind of dogs. And cats. Little kittens, little big to big lions. But on from the ant to the elephant. Amen. Make the lion who don't work and the tiger just roam the forest of the king. Make the ox a beast of sacrifice, a horse, a labor. Amen. Hallelujah. Sheep, innocent. Amen. Then went to the bird life, eagles and doves and different things. God created all the air. Amen. What do you do it for? Adam are you thinking about? Amen. When my son comes, amen, he must be pleased. I want to please him. I want to make it just right. I want the temperature just right. I want the water just right. I know what he's going to like. Amen. God was laying it on. You were that kind of man today, fallen man, has a deep in him, craving to go back to Eden. He don't even realize it. But that friend is there. But because it's Eden, the serpent was in Eden tree. Because the serpent he made their own Eden, they were in God Eden. Amen. All I could know is to try to copy of a God Eden. Amen. They could create it instead of manufacture. But because of the amnesia, you see, man don't realize that he wanted to be a perfection before he fell. He was not a God over the years. Amen. That's why he's constantly trying to beautify his home. This carpet just don't go right. Paint it. Something off here. Me and I have a reading lamp over here. I want something over here. You know, I just want this room just right. I want a relaxation place over here. You see, and he just wants everything right. Then outside, he finds us maybe the yard, little landscaping. He can't make a whole project for the whole city, so he picks a little yard. He picks some roses here, put some other flowers over here, put some type of lawn here, put a little hedge over here. Because why? Back in Eden, God couldn't beautify. Amen. See? Then, he wants some fruit trees. Amen. See? So in the yard, little apricots and pomegranates and pears and different things, and he just wants a little life. So after you have all that botany life now, he wants some animal life. He got a nice big German shepherd or a collie or something, amen. Rosa, go over here. Sit down there, boy, amen. Hallelujah. See, what a little animal, a little kitten to play with. A little furry kitten, you know. Maybe he can't bring a lion because you are fear inside him or something. Can't handle a tiger or a leopard. He got a little Persian kitten and pull and play it up next to the foot and different things. Amen. How do you get some animal life? You know, he wants some bird life now. But he has no dominion over the bird. He can't bring the bird and leave it there. Then he got a little parrot to talk. Amen. Make get a bunch of canaries, let him sing in the morning. Make get a couple of little doves or pigeons or something. He wants some bird life. Then that satisfies him. He wants some marine life. Amen. They got a little aquarium. You got a little aquarium, a little goldfish and angel fishes and these things. What is happening? It's deep inside of him. He wants a botany life and marine life and amen. And bird life and animal life. Because here he is having God on life. Amen. A God over it. Amen. Then but when the place got hot and humid, amen. He has conditioned the place. You want to climb it just right now. Amen. He controls the elements. See? God can pour the elements, but you don't have the dominion no more. So he controls the climate by thermostat. Amen. Suck up the heat a little bit, cold air. He can't say, sun shine out, so he cannot be put on the sun a little bit. Hey, look at your hot dogs, he can't. Turn it up a little bit. See, a little dominion. See? Amen. Then he wants a fence's property now. He lays out, he establishes his bounty. He shows his supremacy. The bonds of his dominion. Amen. Hallelujah. He lays out all the air. Where he has jurisdiction. He can walk in the yard at 9 o'clock in the night if he wants. Not early in the morning, 4 o'clock. Walk right up to the fence. Amen. See? That's what he wants. You watch them. You can want them big suburbs and then you want them outside the air. You know, they have a big dog in here. Okay, boy, go inside now. And they're going to, you know, walk along and have a good time. See? Then the house, you have a deal of purchase. With all that marine life and bird life, you have a deal of purchase. If you go out to service or something and then you go home and see some people in the house living it up and having a good time, right? You have the wrong house. Once he firmly knows that is his own property, he don't walk in there and say, it's okay if we go inside and sleep. No! But he comes in a demanding tone, what is your inside of here? Amen! Because what? He has ownership. See? And he comes there and he has that deal. And that deal specifies his boundaries. Amen. That deal shows he's the legal owner of that property. Amen. See? And here you have a bride, his wife there. And you have the master bedroom, his headquarters. And you have his bride to reproduce his own self. Amen. And he multiplies and replaces his own domain. Some little children being born in the home and little boys and girls and they walk along here now and he's expressing more attributes. Amen. Make small ones like him. Glory. They couldn't call him daddy before, but they want to call him daddy. And he's sitting by the table and he breaks the bread. Offer the word of prayer. Amen. Walk with them along the yard. See? Here he is. He has that dominion. And something in the man now. He knows that he's fallen. He's groaning. And the earth is groaning too. He wants to come back to that place. I don't know how to come back. Amen. But here we see that under that seventh trumpet, the kingdom of this world. When you walk in a place and you see all the armed invasion and the armed for this and they have this radar and this territory being invaded or if an army coming or what they have, all the defense forces and different things. The Bible says this one is going to come and take over everything. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What kind of power is that? The kingdom of this world. Become the kingdom of our Lord and His Christ. And before he completely takes it over under that seventh trumpet, he comes down and gives the deed back. Now what's something? When Adam was there in the Garden of Eden, there's a beautiful type for you. He had a title deed to the earth. Was his. Because God in His plan of redemption was showing it down to the Old Testament. And showing that there was going to be a day he's really going to come back.
Amen.
Amen. There's a provided time in God's economy. And then when Adam fell and he forfeited the inheritance, Satan couldn't take it, the prophet says. It went back into the hands of the original owner because of God's word that was forever settled in heaven. You see, don't you read Joshua telling them that back then in the Old Testament? Yet in Genesis, it was already so with God, as far as God is concerned, because God never yet had one word to his knowledge. God didn't think a new thought in the book of Joshua. It was just unfolding what was already settled in heaven. God already coming. If it's forfeited, in the wrong, in their own work, can bring you out the bondage. If they have nobody to come and take you out, I have a plan. You're going to walk on street. You're going to hear a trumpet song. A message will go forth. They're going to proclaim liberty, amen. Wait. I'll identify to the time it's going to come. It'll be the 50th year. God says, he's waiting patiently. He has trusted the Lord, and the Lord, keep my life. We who are alive and remain until that time when that message is going to go forth. Amen. Now what? Then, he's going to come back. See? He's going to come right back into the sons of God. And we're not going to get halfway destroyed. We're not going to get polluted. It's going to be purified. There will be a purification for the earth under that sixth seal. Listen quickly. Two things happening under that surface. One, push the Jews back in the homeland like Naomi. But the next one was the earth. Elimelech's inheritance was to be redeemed. Amen. And that's what we're going to look at here tonight. How that earth is coming back. How it's being smitten by the polluted sea of Adam, he called it. See? Smitten. But you will destroy them to destroy you. You can imagine you build a nice home in the place where all the homes being built here, in the subdivision, and you buy it for your boy and you put it in, you had all the contractors and everything that do just right. And then some vandals start to move in. And they start to come up with the roof. And who passes through the door and start to take the door and go somewhere else with it. And destroy that and destroy the other. And you see that. You sure you're going to smile and say, have a good time, boys? No! And when God is still here of the earth, that he said was so good to fight one another, all kind of crooked politics. See? They're moving here and they destabilize this country. And all kind of weapon politics control the minds and all the resources of another country. So kind of propaganda and scare them. See? He's going there and undermining the system. Cause confusion among the people. See, all the drug trades, all kinds of different things. Maybe people are going to drop out. I always have a bad Lord, I need help. And the same one who almost destroyed and said, okay, I'm going to come and help you. But I'm going to help you under certain conditions now. You have to listen to, And next week, I'm going to be controlled. Because certain people are more powerful than certain people. And certain people have more far-reaching plans than other people. And next thing you know, they bring the uranium over here. They're controlling the oil over here. They're controlling the fishing industry over here. They're controlling the forest over here. And then, when they want to put pressure on another country, then they can start the trade wars. They can cause inflation. They can do this. And God is saying, the thoughts of my heart is continually evil. Everything they did was a selfish motive. Was to destroy one another. Was not for the glory of God. All them wars. For the principle they were fought for. For greed and selfishness. And here, how he says, and but pain. Because under the Old Testament, when them prophets came forth, close now, under the Old Testament, when them prophets came forth, they brought but pain on the Jewish church. Until it produced the Son of Man, the Word made flesh, the second Adam. And under the New Testament, them seven messengers bring but pain on the church. Until it produced the Word made flesh again, Jesus in bright form, the second Eve. And under them three walls, the earth is going to birth pains to bring forth a millennium, a restored Eden. So that Adam and Eve could go back to Eden. So under the earth, under the walls rather, them walls, what happened? The earth is going to birth pains. Not just the Jews go back in the homeland, the earth is going to birth pains. Listen. Did you know if you had to have a new earth, paid forth in birth pains? The old world and the new world can't exist at the same time. Or the new world and the old world can't exist at the same time. There can't be two old orders together at the same time. Now, in order to get the new world, the old one has to die. Now, if the old one has to die, then it's giving birth pains to a new one now. Amen. And brother, I'm talking about a doctor times a patient. He stands on the presence of a few doctors here. He says, and you know, when the doctor goes to find the birth pains, how close they are together and how much more terrific each one gets. One is more harder to have than the next one. Still harder, getting closer. That's the way he died in those cases. And here was Dr. Branham in this age. And he had the medical journal here. Amen. And the earth was in travail. And he was timing the earth pains. Hallelujah! He was looking for the birth of a new civilization. He had seen in the Bible, under the seventh trumpet, the kingdom of this world is going to come back. Amen. He knew he had the ministry of the morning star. He was already putting back on his Eden beauty. Amen! Hallelujah! He saw every city. He saw where civilization come from. Cain, who built it when they went to the presence of God. He saw it just produced death. Amen. But he saw there's another city in the book. Amen. Heavenly Jerusalem. My. And he's watching the earth. And he's timing her pain. He said, well, the world has to give birth to a new world. Let's just examine some of the birth pains we are having on the earth. And then we'll see about what day and just about how far she's along in labor. Amen. The First World War showed great pain. First World War showed great pain. It showed one of the first birth pains of her going into labor. Think of it, 60 million kilos. Amen. See? Because for that time, we had brought for the bombs, and we had machine guns and poison gas. You remember, he said, maybe you cannot. And that's why many of us in this generation here, we didn't live in that time. You see, so it kind of bothers what really happened. So when the word says we're so far along, we don't realize we're so really far along. Because we didn't know what that meant back there. Because we didn't live there to see it.
Amen.
But what? You can't remember them speaking of this mustard and cloven gas. They use it right back here recently again.
Amen. In the Middle East. How it just looks like it gets started to burn the whole earth. It'll kill everybody. Well, by the breaking of that, just when it burned across the earth, how everybody was scared to death of that great weapon of poison gas. The earth went through had its first birth pain. We find we had a second world war. Her pain is much greater, more terrific all the time. The birth pains of the earth, she almost had to give way during the time of the atomic bomb. Because it would destroy a whole city. See, it was much greater than the pain of the first world war, of destruction. Look like right in Hiroshima. After they had 40 years recently here, and was interviewing people. Hell, was crippled up and the killer and different things from what had happened back then, on that second war.
Amen.
See, and now, she knows the time of deliverance in her hand. That's the reason she's nervous, frustrated. It's because the hydrogen bomb missed out of the air could destroy the whole earth. One nation scared of the other one. No matter how little it is. They've got those missiles that claim one of them. They can direct them at the stars, put them anywhere they want to in the world. Russia, I heard on the news the other day, claims she can destroy this nation, keep the atoms and things from breaking up her nation. We don't know what to do about it. Everyone's making these claims. And it's so. And has broken the God's great laboratory until they are going to destroy themselves. God always let man, wisdom, destroy himself. God doesn't destroy anything. Man destroys himself by wisdom. All the earth time is changing. All the waters are polluted. We'll get it before the meeting's finished. How, right in Canada, there's hundreds and hundreds of lakes acidified. All the fish died. Time of the atomic bomb. Because it would destroy a whole city. See? It was much greater than the pain of the First World War. Of destruction. Look like right in Hiroshima. After they had 40 years recently here. And was interviewing people. Hell was crippled up and the children and different things from what had happened back there. On that second war.
Amen.
Amen. See? And now, she knows the time of deliverance in her hand. That's the reason she's nervous, frustrated. It's because the hydrogen bomb and missiles of the air could destroy the whole earth. One nation scared of the other one. No matter how little it is. They've got those missiles that claim one of them. They can direct them at the stars, put them anywhere they want to in the world. Russia, I heard on the news the other day, claims she can destroy this nation, keep the atoms and things from breaking up her nation. We don't know what to do about it. Everyone's making these claims. And it's so. And has broken the God's great laboratory until they are going to destroy themselves. God always let man, wisdom, destroy himself. God doesn't destroy anything. Man destroys himself by wisdom. All the earth time is changing. All the waters are polluted. We'll get it before the meeting's finished. Right in Canada, there's hundreds and hundreds of lakes acidified. All the fish died. Nothing could exist.
Right.
And when they trace those things from thousands of miles away, big power plants and industries in the States, some of them, they say, creating their own weather patterns. We're going to get spooked into that just now. What you can see. Amen. And the winds, bringing all that toxic winds. Amen. And it's destroying the ecosystem. Killing all the life forms. So closely and intricately knitted together.
Right.
Because you see, God made the environment that He made for Adam dependent on each other.
Right.
Amen. The whole system, that an intricate chain of life.
Right.
Amen. That started and built right up to very God's own life.
Right.
Amen. And any chain is strong as you can think. Amen.
Right.
And then look what's happening. For progress, there is 25 million acres a year being destroyed. Deforestation. Change, disrupting the whole pattern of the climate and these things. For progress. Because of the population explosion. Have to get places and homes to put people. You can look and see. Let's look at the doctor's book. It's in that kind of pain. It's supposed to happen. Matthew 24 is the doctor's book, which is the Bible. See? And what the symptoms would be. Just about the time the child to come, everything's ready. Because he knows that it's time for the child to be born. Because all the symptoms show. Talk about how in the natural birth, a doctor is testing that woman there. And she's going to labor. And she's going to give birth to a baby. And this earth has been busted up and religion is rotten. Politics is rotten. Educational system is rotten. Why? It has to give birth to a new world. Amen. This is the scripture fulfilled. He says, I was going to take my second birth where Jesus said, arguments of veil. I was speaking last night when he was there in the platform and he preached on the Bible. And how that the pains, the birth pains, fucked the world in World War One. He had a terrific pain because of that poison gas and so forth that could destroy the world. In World War II, he struck another heart of pain. That blockbuster and atomic bomb. She cannot stand another labor pain with these missiles and things today. One more war will throw her out in the pit. For she will now be delivered and there will be a new earth. The Bible says there will be. Amen. Time is up. Happy close. But watch and see what we're speaking of. You see, ecology is the branch of science that is concerned with the relationship of life forms. And that's what it's shown here. Revelation 8 is showing the ecosystem, which is like Eden at one time. Under the first four trumpets, under the seven trumpets, oh, it's back again. Just like in Genesis 1 and 2. See? We're not doing all them. God's going to shake all these things down to bring back a real nice Eden where the land and the lamb will lay down together again. And here, the bride is being taken out. Now, Ruth getting her redemption, that Naomi can get home quickly too. And then, he delivered the earth from the bondage of corruption back into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That the meek, when they open them seven seals, what do they sing? The meek shall inherit the earth. We shall reign as kings and priests. And because it was redemption. God worthy to redeem these things. But that's what it seals are, redemption. See? So, when it comes to the trumpet, it's Israel's redemption and the earth's redemption. And at the last trumpet, this mortal shall put on mortality. Amen. See? And every ecosystem, this has four elements. The non-living environment, that they consider the minerals and all these things. Then producers. See? Different trees and crops that produce life. Then there are the consumers that come and feed off of the life that is growing from the minerals as yet. And then there are the decomposers. When a life passes and go back into the very system as a cycle to bring forth new life again. Yeah. And the church is like an ecosystem. See, let's put it on close out. The church is an environment. That tree here. Yeah. Man is like a tree planted by the river of water. Yeah. The Romans cut down the tree alive. Right. They also cut down the bride tree too. Right. Because the leaf was to get fellowship. Right. The bark was the doctrine. Right. The fruit of the fruit of the spirit. Yes. And the sap of the life, the token. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
You see? And look, in the church, in this world today, there's a great a worldwide ecological crisis, they call it. Global environmental crisis. The world is falling apart.
Yes.
But I want to talk about, for the next minute, a spiritual ecological crisis. That exists today. Where the spiritual life forms in every environment. How do you destroy the natural ones too? Because in the church, you have them same four elements. Have the word. You must have the word. Without the word, there's no life beginning.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Right.
And then there's the ministers, like the producers. They bring life onto the word. Amen. Draw from the word and bring to the people, the congregation, who feed upon that word.
Amen.
Amen. They're coming to the ministry. And then also you have the In the church, the government that they have, deacons and prophets and janitors and the strong ministers and all these things, playing their part in the system. Amen. There can be a real spiritual atmosphere, real spiritual life. Amen. Existing in that environment and continuing to exist without interruption of nature. Amen.
Amen.
And the great pain of life, greatly linked together in this environment. And each form of life has its own place. And its own purpose in the environment. You know, the Bible says, look at the cactus. That cactus wouldn't grow up in the mountain where the pines are growing. And the pine wouldn't grow where the cactus is growing.
Right. Right.
Amen. Right. The same way, you take a giant and the premier and the pulpit, or that clearly says we're free naturally. But then, he's out there standing. Amen. You see, you may bring a deacon who may be firm and friendly in these things, but then he may be able to bring the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit for the word to come forth. Like Joshua, the place of each one in the environment. And the great state of life, and each one has its purpose, its specific place. And each piece of life could only remain original and stand in pure state. Amen. If it stays in the position where God has placed it. So we would have ecological crisis. Amen. And today, look, and so many are dying spiritually. Church is collapsing. Because that great chain of spiritual life is being broken down. Because of an invasion of the environment. Of all kind of pollutions and deadly poisons being released from power plants. Amen. And industries. They say, like in Dallas, there are some great big power plants. It still don't wear a pattern. The smoke stacks so high. And the type of winds blowing, where it takes it up to Canada, and it forms acid rain and toxic winds, destroys all the forest. This nation depends on forestry. Amen? Amen. On the marine life in the sea, its waters.
Right.
And all these things, to survive all the minerals and these things. Without a global economy. That would make it secure.
Right.
Amen. Amen? It's a system, an ecosystem. And the people live in this ecosystem. They ride on the tail everywhere they could. See? To extend civilization. Amen. It just brings more evil. More death. Amen. What? And here, all this is happening. Chemical products. This plant here. Maybe putting out some little product. Maybe paint. But the kind of chemicals they're using and pulling into the atmosphere is contaminating the atmosphere. Amen. And all these new chemical products is only perverting and killing instead of giving life. And then they have the great advertisement campaign. Oh, this is the best product and they compete it on for your mind. Amen. On the radio and the television to push the product. Then they have the trained salesmen to go with that product. To influence everybody so they can buy that product. Amen. And then all those who get influenced, it becomes an inlet for these products to come into the environment and create an ecological crisis. They say, okay, we're going to start to buy that. And we're going to start to import that. See? Or we're going to allow it to start a plant. Yeah. And produce this type of product. You see? And there are so many denominational industries. Hollywood. All these things. All these toxic chemicals being released into the spiritual atmosphere, bringing from Hollywood into them, all them churches, and the whole church world get like Hollywood.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
All the trees begin to die out. No more fellowship. The leaves begin to get wither.
Yeah.
The fruits begin to come forth life. Before time. Fall off.
Right.
Amen. See what it is? May them create their own weather pattern. See? Mighty rushing winds. All kind of rain. Not so much lots of rain. See? Acid rain.
Right.
And they say that acid rain destroying the trees. Poison the lake.
Yep.
Then it gets into the chain of life.
Right.
The fish pick it up from the lake. Then the man's gonna eat the fish.
Right.
Then get into the human race.
Right.
And death begin to travel. Amen. You see? And here it is, spiritually I'm speaking, killing all the trees and poisoning the lakes, the deadly poisons, even many countries thousands of miles away. In Trinidad, we see dust, get the whole place hazy from the Sahara Desert.
Right.
Thousands and thousands of miles, the winds bring. Change up the whole place. Change up the weather. See, man tampering with nature. It's all from the human race too. Because remember, you said some of these years, being a cut down all the trees. They get all they go in a beauty saloon. Amen. And they've been a cut down all the trees. Amen. Being a change the contours of the land. The earth. Oh, they've been doing aerobics now and calisthenics and different things. See, to change the contours of the land. To make certain parts high and certain parts low and different things. See, put all kind of chemicals into the soil. Exactly. You watch man under the same influence now. Boy, they rub this cream and this over here and they can see a little in the face and something over here and Jesus said, isn't the life more than the body?
Right. Right.
Amen. Exactly. And boy, they stand looking in the mirror and they look in the mirror and they find that didn't look
good enough. They get worried and concerned, and they pay a price because maybe some new thing to erase that. And then they come and look in the mirror of the world, and they walk away and forget what you look like, and they can't pay the price. Amen! To get real deliverance. Amen. See, all kinds of artificial stuff of beautification. Who are longer nails? They stick it on long. And who are longer eyelashes? They stick on one here. Amen. See, exactly. What happened? Because civilization, everything, is destroying you. And God will destroy them that destroyed you. Amen. Exactly right. Let us stand up. We're going to pick up these things later as we go on. But I want to see that environment. Those things happen Saturday. It's a great thing that happens. The earth is groaning and travailing in pain, crying, waiting for the manifestation of the Son of God. Think of it, just at the end of this great time civilization, the Lord has come down. Not with a gift of healing, with a title deed to redemption.
Amen.
Because the earth was being torn up. The earth was being destroyed. But you're going to come to give it back to the sons of God. What are we receiving in the message of the hour? What have we really received? What is the opening of the seven spirits to us? Why was that Revelation 10 placed? Right where it's placed in the Bible.
Amen.
Where the earth and the tree and the seas are all of them being destroyed. But right after Revelation 10, the kingdom of his world becomes the kingdom of the Lord. And it's Christ.
Right.
The earth becomes purified again.
Right.
This message comes to change the whole course.
Amen.
Of world history.
Yeah.
Of civilization. To pull the people out.
Amen.
To
Amen.
Take us back.
Amen.
To Eden. That's why we are walking tonight. Looking for a new body all these things.
Yeah.
Amen. Looking for a new earth. A new world order. It's coming. He starts in the vision. It's burned. And the day will come and the righteous will walk up in the ashes of the wicked. I'll send Elijah before that. I'll send Elijah before the third war. Before I destroy all flesh. To pull out the people who's going to come back. In that new Eden. Think of it tonight. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm thinking of that song that oh see the bright light. It's just about home time. This world is a wilderness. We are waiting for deliverance. Aren't you homesick tonight?
Amen.
Don't you want to see Jesus?
Yes, Lord.
Paul said, we also groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. The earth is groaning to bring forth a new world. We are groaning to bring forth a new body.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. That word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path.
Yeah.
Lord, is not a commonly devised table. It's a sword of prophecy. This light has come, Father, to show us where we're going. Lord, we see we're going back to that seventh morning. That great faith civilization. How we thank you that we have heard the true voice, the voice of the King, speaking unto us this hour. That we'll not be confused by these intellectual voices, but we have heard the voice of God in the last days. Speaking to us, Lord, a true promise. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
So we see this cosmos, this world.
Amen.
We see where it started, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I pray tonight that you filter our thinking by your word.
Yes.
Give us a holy mind taste.
Yes.
Let the mind of Christ come in and we can think your thoughts.
Yes.
That when we look at this cosmos, this world order, we'll see it falling apart.
Yes.
And we'll look beyond this horizon and see, Lord, that new horizon, that bright shining day that has been ushering in us as 1,000 years of peace, 1,000 years of shalom. Oh, we thank you for it, Father. Lord, you see it. Our names are laying there. Our body have already turned heavenly. Brought, Lord, into a rusty condition. More and more as we feed upon this word. May we feed upon these spiritual vitamins. Lord, these things become unfailing realities in our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would so make it so real unto us. It would have such an effect and such an influence upon our lives. It would govern our thinking, every decision we make, every ambition that we have.
It will bring us, Lord, in obedience, into a full surrender to you. He said, this is the time we should pray for. Pray that you come. That will be done on earth as in heaven. The prophet said, that's what it is, Lord. When the Lamb left that intercessory post and took that book and opened his seven seals, it came to gather his redeemed subject, who is going to reign with him on the earth. Oh, how we thank you, Father, that we have heard our name being called. And here we have been gathered together, getting ready to leave. May there be not one here, Lord, that be found wanting. May tonight, if there is someone, Lord, having some worldly desire, some worldly taste, may you filter that thinking, Lord. Put a holy man's taste inside of you. They will set their affections and things above and not in things beneath. Granted, Father, we commit everyone into your hands. We thank you for your presence. May this country unfold your word more and more to us. And we can be ready and prepared for this hour, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And God is with you.
I can only think of one song that I think of every night. Nations are breaking, Israel's awakening.
Nations are breaking, Israel's awakening. Isn't that the promise foretold?
72 in the book.
10,000 numbers, hearts and comfort, eternity soon will unfold. The day of redemption is near. Let hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your land sweet and clear. Look up, your redemption is near.
Last verse.
False prophets are lying, God's truth they're denying. Let Jesus, the Christ is our God. So this generation, where God's revelation, will walk where the apostles have crossed. The day of redemption is near. Let hearts are filled for me.
You know what that redemption is meaning for you? So I heard Brother Ben saying, I just so enjoyed. As God was preparing, making all that variety, thinking about Adam. Now he speaks about a millennium. A millennium reign. When he says that there be no more death, there be no more sorrow, there be no more pain, there be no more tears, there be no more crying. Who's he thinking about now? Who's he making that for? Oh, I tell you, friends, it's more real than we're standing here tonight. It's more real than your breath that you're breathing tonight. And I believe it's just a hairline away. That's why we're here. I don't know about you, but I just love to sit and listen. Hear just every side and every facet and every aspect of this great thing that he's done. And to think that he would not merely announce it, the message just is an announcement to us, but it's a very specific word. It's placing exactly where we are. They're already there, friends. Israel's already there. And now just waiting to make himself known. Brother Branham was so caught up in that, he was waiting for it just momentarily. He said to me, that I don't know of one thing that's left yet. Not one thing for it to just all be wound up. He was so living in the reality of it. And I trust that you will. I trust that you will also. Now tomorrow, of course, there's no meeting tomorrow. And Sunday we're going to be here, both services. The last two services, our brother Ben's able to be with us. It's amazing what a variety it is, isn't it? To be quite honest with you, I was expecting a great heavy study tonight. I thought we got all ready for it last night. And then to just kind of see all the things that are so everyday to us fit right back into the last two nights. Oh, the Lord is so gracious to us. The day of redemption is here. Men's hearts are filled to fear. So be filled with the Spirit, your lamp trim and clear. Lift up your redemption. And also, there's no Sunday school Sunday morning, so we're just going to be gathering for the service. We'll bow our heads in prayer now. Gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you that you've made yourself so known, so real.